Welcome to the American Churchman podcast, where we encourage men to fulfill their biblical responsibilities, live for Christ, and be men, which is something you don't have as much as you probably should have today. I am joined today with a special guest, Sean McGowan. Sean's actually been on my other podcast, which is called Conversations That Matter, but this is his first time on the American Churchman. So welcome, Pastor Sean McGowan.
It's good to be here, brother. Good to see you.
Thanks for joining me. For those wondering where Matthew Pearson is, he had a family obligation tonight. And so I think a lot of people do this week as it's Thanksgiving. And we decided to go ahead and do the show anyway and talk specifically about Thanksgiving because Sean wrote a great article on the first Thanksgiving in Virginia. But before we get to that, just a little housekeeping business. The American Churchman is sponsored by TruthScript. If you want to know more about the American Churchman or TruthScript, just go to truthscript.com and you can check it out there. We also have on the website, I want to point out the conference coming up in Selins Grove, Pennsylvania from April 25th to 26th on Christianity and the Founding. If you go to truthscript.com and click on that tab, it'll take you to a place you can sign up. It is a steal. I'm telling you, TruthScript is underwriting this. It's going to cost some money for us, but we want it to be affordable for people who are coming. So it's only $30 to pay to come. And Sean's actually one of our speakers, so he's going to be there as well. And of course, as always, if you want to donate to TruthScript, we are a 501c3. Scroll to the bottom and you can donate there under the donate tab. All right. With that, Sean, I'm going to jump right into it because we usually do an attribute of God. And I do that with Matthew Pearson. He loves doing it. I'm going to save the next attribute for him. So we'll just talk about Thanksgiving a little bit. And your article, of course, is up right now. And it is, the title of it is Love Thanksgiving, Thank Virginia, which, of course, I like as, the director, producer of the 1607 Project. I think Virginia will always hold a very special place in my heart. I did live there for a few years. But I think just the history of Virginia is fascinating. And it's sad to see kind of politically and socially and mostly in Northern Virginia, I suppose, where some things have gone because it's just different. A lot of people from outside the state have moved in and changed some things. But Virginia is still Virginia. And I know, Sean, you're from Virginia, I believe, right?
Yeah, I'm from Spotsylvania County, Virginia. Yep. So it's central Virginia, about 40 miles north of Richmond. So we kind of straddle that line with Northern Virginia, but I know exactly what you're talking about, man, because it changed quite a bit even from when I grew up there and lived there. So
yeah, you're not there now. I should probably just let you plug where people can find you and that kind of thing, because I know you're a pastor, you're in the PCA, you're a trustee actually of Covenant College. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and if people want to ask you questions after hearing you talk about this, where they can go to find you.
Yeah, so I'm a PCA minister in Tallahassee, Florida, Westminster Presbyterian Church. Been there for about 4 years. I've actually been out of Virginia for about, I guess now, seven. I was in Alabama for 4 years too. My only really social media presence is Twitter. I refuse to call it X, Twitter, Irish Presby at Irish Presby. That's the tag. So
no one can mistake you for not being Irish when they look at you.
Probably not. Nope.
So are you old stock Virginia? I mean, I'm just curious how far your family goes. Cause I know there's a lot of Scotch Irish settlement in that area, but, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm not, we're a transplant. My mother's grandparents came over from Northern Ireland. So my grandmother's a first generation American. And then my dad's side is actually from New England. They came over from, I guess, a couple generations beyond his grandparents, my dad's. They came over from Ireland too. So no, I'm not old stock, anything like that. But, grew up in Virginia, love Virginia, love the history. And
well, his name is, I'm assuming your father and you share the same last name, McGowan, right? So he must be Irish, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. His background. Yeah. So my dad's family came over from, originally from the Republic of Ireland. So I actually have ancestors from the Republic, particularly in County Kerry. And my mom's grandparents came over from County Down and County Armagh in Northern Ireland. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So I got a little bit of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's a slight difference, but, you know, we have, I think, is Louisiana the only state that doesn't have counties? I think every other state, I think, has counties. Yeah. Yeah, but we usually in America, we refer to it like I live in Ulster County.
Yeah.
Right. Which is, I mean, it sounds actually kind of like Northern Irish, right? Ulster County. But, and I'm in the town of Highland too, which is
okay. Yeah.
It almost sounds like I'm in Scotland. I think it's better. I should just call it County Ulster. It just sounds better. I don't know why.
Oh yeah.
You know,
oh,
yeah. But, no, very cool. So it's awesome. I love talking to people about their background and their heritage, and I could just go on about that forever. But,
part of the reason I love, you know, I grew up, in Spotsylvania, which is where Fredericksburg is a city. And if you know, I mean, goodness, mm-hmm. George Washington's mother lived in the city of Fredericksburg. James Monroe practiced law in the city of Fredericksburg. And then you got the, you know, Civil War, the Battle of Fredericksburg, Battle of Chancellorsville. I mean, that was all my backyard. And when I was younger, I took it for granted. But I've grown to appreciate it more than I've gotten older. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I was seeing some pictures of that area in Fredericksburg recently, and some of those places haven't changed since the Civil War. I mean, they look the same. The buildings are the same. They've tried to keep them, period, which I think is awesome. I actually grew up in a home that was from the 1700s. We don't know exactly the date. We found the cornerstone for the barn, which was probably built after, mm-hmm. and that was like 1781, if I'm not mistaken. But so, yeah, I mean, somewhere in there, it's 1770s, probably, our home was built. And it's the coolest thing, because you feel like you're walking through a museum every day. I lived in that. Now, I took it for granted growing up, but history is around us. And when you go to Europe, I think it's even deeper. People can remember back hundreds of years. Here, it's more shallow, but we still do have a rich history going back hundreds of years. And I think what you wrote about Thanksgiving, I mean, this is one of our oldest traditions, I guess you could say, like, and it's quintessentially American, right? I remember a few years ago, my wife's cousin, she lives in England, and they were calling in for Thanksgiving. We were talking on the phone, and her husband has a British accent and stuff, and he was there, and kind of, it occurred to me, like, I was kind of like, what are you guys doing for Thanksgiving? It's like, we don't do Thanksgiving. I'm like, oh, right. It is a very American holiday. And so part of our national identity, and one of my favorites. I don't know. Is it your favorite holiday, or does it stack?
I mean, it's up there.
Christmas is hard to contend with.
Yeah. I love Thanksgiving, though. Just the, you know, traditions, the family, all of those things. So yeah, the history. So it's definitely up there. I don't know if I could grade the holidays first, second, or third, but it's definitely up there for sure.
I mean, you're all supposed to say Easter, Resurrection Sunday, right? As Christians, right. That's what we're always told that. But I have to confess, Christmas is my favorite.
Yeah.
But Thanksgiving is definitely close.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, in some ways, in our family, like, it seems that, you know, we kind of rush to Christmas, you know, and I'll put up the tree and all those things. And it's like, well, you know, wait a minute, we gotta appreciate Thanksgiving first. You know, I mean, everybody's jumping to Christmas.
So, I was like that my whole life until, so today was the first day I started listening to Christmas music. I've never done it this early. And I think it's because I have a kid now and I'm trying to show my daughter Christmas songs. All right, well, let's talk. We could jab on forever here and chew the cud, but let's talk about your article. We usually think of Thanksgiving in connection to the Pilgrims, and in this article, obviously the title gives it away that you're tracing the Thanksgiving celebration back to Virginia. So I think the first thing we should probably cover, and since you're the author, I usually read articles. You don't need to do that, but why even talk about the Virginians, right? Because if I'm not mistaken, the first Thanksgiving, because we've had days of Thanksgiving, but the first like Thanksgiving declaration that was traceable to the Pilgrims was pretty early, right? Which president? Do you know which president it was?
Oh yeah. I don't offhand. I don't know, but I think it was pretty early. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll look it up real quick. Cause there's two in my mind and I don't want to get it wrong here, but, all right. So while I'm looking that up, I know that it was traceable to the Pilgrims. That was the first, like recognizable Thanksgiving celebration that we trace our tradition back to, but it wasn't until I think you say, what, it was the 1930s or so that we actually rediscovered that actually that wasn't the first.
Yeah.
And I was right. My first inclination was right. It was Abraham Lincoln. So You would leave it to him to say that it was the Pilgrims, right?
So yeah, I will say I was thinking him, but you said earliest. So it made me question. Lincoln's not that early technically. So,
all right. So I will confess. Yeah. I was thinking either George Washington or Lincoln.
Yeah.
And with Washington, I know he had days. There were days of, you know, prayer and penitence. And so I mean, that was just in America from the beginning. And I couldn't remember if I was confusing that with a Thanksgiving celebration there. But I just looked it up and it's Abraham Lincoln. At least that's who the internet credits with the first Thanksgiving.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Declaration, national declaration, right?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, it's interesting. I do say in the article that I wonder how many Virginians actually realized that there was a Thanksgiving in Virginia before, because according to the research that I've seen, it was Lyon Tyler, who was the son of John Tyler, President John Tyler. And he was, Lyon Tyler was the president of the College of William and Mary. And I think it was in the late 19th century, in the New York Public Library, he discovered these papers. So this is, you know, late 19th century, you know, late 1880s, you know, 1890s, maybe he discovered this collection of papers in the New York Public Library, known as the Nibley Papers. And they were named after John Smith. Ironically enough, his name was John Smith. It wasn't, you know, the John Smith of Jamestown. It was Smyth, John Smith of Nibley. And he documented, I think it was, I don't have the article in front of me now. I think it was 1608 or 09 to 1622, this history of Virginia. And it's in those papers that we find the account of this Thanksgiving. So when Dr. Tyler discovered this, he goes on to publish his findings in 1931, and seems that was the first time many Virginians, let alone other Americans, learned about this Thanksgiving. So, you know, I mean, I remember I was in elementary school. Even when I grew up, I never heard of it. So it's still, I think, even now, relatively unknown. But that was when it was discovered. So, you know, who knows when it was lost? I don't know the answer to that. And how many Virginians before the late 19th, early 20th century actually knew about this Thanksgiving. So yeah. that's who discovered it. And John Smith of Nibley was one of the travelers. There were four men that were granted land in Virginia to travel over and to plant this this settlement on what would come to be known as Berkeley Plantation. So he was one of the men that traveled on the ship Margaret over to Virginia in 1619.
Gotcha. So just to correct one thing, I was right on both counts. Washington actually was the first one to issue on Thursday, the 26th of November, Thanksgiving proclamation and celebration for Thanksgiving. But it wasn't established as a regular occurrence until Abraham Lincoln. So
makes sense.
There you go. They both get to take some credit there. All right. So back to the Berkeley Plantation. Maybe explain that to people, because early on in Virginia settlement, you had all these different plantations going up the Chesapeake, the James River, the Chesapeake Bay. They were spreading out into Delaware, into Virginia. And And I think we're so out of touch with that era of history, but these are essentially land grants, right? From England.
Yeah.
That prominent individuals would, they would ascertain. And then that was their land to farm tobacco or do whatever they wanted to do with them.
Yeah. So it seems that from my understanding, and again, a lot of the history is kind of scant history, you know, because it was relatively unknown. My understanding is that the area where these men came from, the industry there, I think was a wool industry, and it fell on hard times, and many people from that area were looking to go to Virginia to try to make a profit. So it was actually King James the First that granted this land to these four men, and that's what prompted them to go. And they took a group with them. And I believe after this group arrived there, the year after, the rest of the settlement that was going to come over came over. So that's how they acquired the land and then went over there to really make profit. What they could not do back in England.
Now, one of the things you hear about the Virginia settlement is that they were a bunch of businessmen or adventurers looking for gold. And that was what was on their minds. Whereas the Pilgrims and the Puritans after them were looking to establish a theocratic society. They were in it for maybe more noble reasons, depending on whose perspective you're asking. But, you know, within that, you find things that seem to, in my mind, put a wrench in that narrative. This is one of them. Obviously, the first landing is one of them where they erect a cross. Even the charter talks about the propagation of the gospel. So there's this Christian language. They establish a church. I mean, it's a Church of England, but this is all there from the beginning. And so why would they then, what was the purpose that as far as we know of them giving thanks, how much do we know about what it entailed? Did it have, were they feasting? Like, was it like the Pilgrims or what was it?
Yeah. So, obviously, you know, they, I mean, again, people in that context in that day and age, you know, they were thoroughly Christian. Whether every single person was, you know, personally converted is a different question. But that was their background. That's what they knew. It's almost natural, it seems, probably to the first thing you do when you arrive in a difficult circumstance, you know, traveling on a ship where you could have died four or five different times from different storms, to acknowledge Almighty God. And that was really what the first English Thanksgiving was. They arrived. It was a very difficult travel. They encountered multiple severe storms, where they really thought they were going to lose their life. And then when they finally arrived, I think it was December 4th, 1619. So again, keep this in mind, December 4th, 1619, they arrive. The Pilgrims had not even left, for the New World yet. You know, they hadn't even left on the Mayflower. They arrived December 4th, 1619. And as they row up to, what would become Berkeley Plantation, the first thing they do is they put down their bags, put down everything they were traveling with. And the captain, who was a man named John Woodleaf, he ended up becoming the governor of the Berkeley land. He commanded everybody to get down on their knees, and he prayed to God, and he thanked God for safe travel. And then he proclaimed this Thanksgiving to God to be a perpetual holy day. Mm-hmm. That's key right there. So there was no feasting. There were no Indians that they feasted with, nothing like that. But the first English Thanksgiving was in Virginia, and it was proclaimed to be a day where people would acknowledge Almighty God and give him thanks for what he has blessed them with.
And yeah, I think it is important to acknowledge this is a year before the Pilgrims came. And if the Pilgrims had actually arrived at their originally intended destination, which was Virginia, we may not have heard about like the tradition would have been different. I would think, at least. I mean, because they would have been tapping into something that was already there, and there was already a perpetual celebration of Thanksgiving. How long did that go on, that perpetuity?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I can imagine it went on for some time, but you know, because of the lost connection to this Thanksgiving, you wonder if it stopped at some point, because there was no acknowledgement of it for a long time.
And you know, the Pilgrims, when they celebrated initially, I think that was in October. And you know, here we have what day did you say that they celebrated?
December 4th,
right? Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, neither of those is in late November. So that's probably from George Washington then initially, that why we, you know, he set that time as a time to give thanks. But I mean, this is harvest time anyways, and it taps into, even though the initial purpose of both Thanksgivings weren't necessarily harvest, they were survival and just thanksgiving to God that we made it. But it's close enough that this kind of gets wedded to harvest celebration. And that's something, of course, if we tie it to that, that goes back all the way to ancient times, including to Israel and thanksgiving to God for a good crop. And it's just, I think for America, we do have this unique holiday, but we also should recognize as believers that this is also bigger than that. And
Well, I don't know if at the bottom or at the end of the article, I give a little bit of a account of when this was recognized, or at least there were forced acknowledgments of this history. And one of the kind of funny accounts is during the Kennedy administration. There was a state senator from Virginia, and he was an attorney named John J. Wicker Jr. And in Kennedy's 1962 Thanksgiving proclamation, he gives full credit to the Pilgrims. You know, and he talks about them coming over and all the hardship and everything like that. Well, the senator from Virginia was not happy, so he sent a letter to Kennedy. And I mean, he had the documentation, he had the evidence, all these things. And he received a response from a historian who was working in the Kennedy administration at the time, Arthur Schleisinger Jr., I think is his name, Arthur Schleisinger. And actually, it was a full acknowledgement that he was correct and they were wrong. And I forgot the exact words, but Schleisinger chalked it up to extreme New England bias on behalf of the Kennedy administration. Of course, Kennedy's from Massachusetts, you know. So,
yeah.
But anyway, to his credit, you know, Kennedy's November 1963 Thanksgiving proclamation, which was, you know, keep in mind, what, two weeks or so before he was assassinated, gave credit to Virginia. Of course, he gave credit to Massachusetts too. I mean, he wasn't going to let that go, but he says, you could read it.
Forefathers
in Virginia and Massachusetts.
And I think it's an audio or video recording too. I feel like I remember hearing it.
Yeah. And that was credited to this, this lowly state senator from Virginia who told him to get his facts right.
Now they're proud of it in Virginia. I mean, I at least, you know, I don't know to what extent it's a statewide thing, but I know like PBS did a whole special documentary on it, and how Lion Tyler Gardner found the Virginia company records that showed that this happened. And
there's a parade. I think there's a parade.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go to the Berkeley Plantation today. I mean, that's where a lot of these facts for the article came from, and they have all kinds of stuff there. I mean, I think Virginia has rightfully embraced it. Now that they realize that they were first.
Yeah. And just another example, my audience is tired of hearing it probably, but just another example, like how Virginia is first there. Yep. And predates New England on so many things, that being one. Let me ask you this. So, you know, given we have this Anglican tradition in Virginia. We have this Puritan, or the Pilgrims were, of course, separatist, but you know, this Reformed congregational type tradition in New England. Where do the Presbyterians fit in, since you're a Presbyterian?
Yeah. So, well, the Presbyterians, I mean, had a strong presence, you know, obviously originally in places like Pennsylvania, but then trickled down to Virginia and to places like North Carolina, you know, in South Carolina. But, you know, you have people like Samuel Davies, and even before him, Francis McKemmy, who were in Virginia. And I mean, one of the things that Samuel Davies did was he challenged the Church of England, and actually argued for the Act of Toleration, saying that it was applicable to the colonies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, the Presbyterians were dissenters, but they played a very prominent role in establishing religious toleration. And then also, you know, into the 19th century, I mean, you have some of the great, you know, Presbyterians in Virginia, like Dabney and others, and then in South Carolina. So I'd say the Presbyterians, you know, they obviously didn't have an established church in any of the colonies and in the states, but they had a strong presence in places like Pennsylvania and Virginia, and South Carolina as well. So,
yeah, you know, Virginia is probably credited more than any other state, and it should be, with propagating religious toleration, freedom, mostly because of Jefferson's bill of religious freedom. But, you know, you look back at the transition, because it was a transition from the Church of England to a more of an expanded toleration. And, you know, even Jefferson the same year wanting to have Sabbath laws, you know, yeah. Which shows you that there were limitations to this. But I wonder whether or not the secularists have overplayed their hand on that and, you know, tried to make the historical record say something it really doesn't say. It seems to me that Virginia was long before New England, but New England eventually became more this. Well, so actually, that's a difference. So maybe you tell me what you think of this. In my reading of it, Virginia became the Pan-Protestant project, and it was primarily Protestant. Not saying there weren't some Catholics there, but it was Anglicans, then Episcopalians, of course, Presbyterians, Methodists, Baptists. Mm-hmm. And in New England, you had basically the Congregationalists for years after even the Jefferson's bill. They're still the official church. Your taxes go to them. And of course, though, they get hollowed out and basically rotted from the inside. They're no longer even Orthodox. And then the whole thing falls. Then it's just this, basically they just fall into Unitarianism and secularism overnight. Whereas I think Virginia kept that Pan-Protestant. And to me, that's what America really is, mm-hmm. like on a definitional level, more than, you know, if I had to compare the two, I suppose. I'm not saying both are America, but I think Virginia is more representative of what America became and what some of the other colonies, especially in the South, and even in the mid-Atlantic states, embraced, which was this Pan-Protestantism. Of course, Maryland and Pennsylvania having more Catholics, but still not a majority at all. Mm-hmm. So,
go ahead. Fascinating. I mean, you know, because even some of the things that I think we think America is, because, you know, often we interpret what America is through like Jefferson's bill of religious freedom and all those things. And we think of the founding fathers as kind of a monolith. But it's fascinating that even look at place like Virginia and realize, no, there were strong differences even in the founding generation. I mean, you have someone like Madison pitted against Patrick Henry.
Yeah. I was going to say Patrick Henry wasn't happy.
Right. Two men that we think are the founding generation, and they differed on how much influence the state ought to have at least they differed on if the state should have any play at all within maintaining a religious society. Where Patrick Henry wanted a general assessment tax, to where actually no, you would be taxed, and if you were Baptist, you'd pay your tax to the Baptist church. If you were Presbyterian, you'd pay your tax to the Presbyterian church. because he recognized the importance of religion in civil society. I wonder how many people on the street would actually realize that someone like, you know, Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death, advocated for that. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a bit more complex than we think. And yeah, I mean, there were prominent, you know, Christian voices, even in those debates, like the Hanover Presbytery, who was influencing that discussion that was going on, to the point where one time Madison ended up saying, you know, all the religious denominations are on my side except the Presbyterians. He was talking about the Hanover Presbytery, but they eventually came into the fold and embraced Madison's position. But I think your assessment is correct, that Virginia really does reflect what America was supposed to be.
And you see that today too. I mean, it shows up not just in voting maps, but I was going to ask you, as someone who's native Virginia, and you know, I'm a little bit of a mutt, I guess. I was born in California. I grew up in New York, but one side of the family having Midwestern sentiments, one side of the family having, I would say, Southern and Midwestern sentiments. It, you know, I felt like an oddball a little bit. Not like weird, but just like I knew that in New York, sometimes I stood out a little bit. Sometimes the things we did were a little different. And one of the things I was going to say, though, in New York is, you know, and it's everywhere now, but you know, I don't know. I just want to see if it compares with your experience. Thanksgiving has become very much a secularized holiday where, you know, I don't even think the pilgrims are hardly thought about. I mean, you make fun of, like, you know, I've seen at Abbeville events and stuff, they'll make fun of those pilgrim hats. And, you know, that was like maybe when I was a kid, right? I don't think that even is hardly around anymore. People don't know who those folks are. They probably know more about the Indians. They don't even know much about them. And so, so anyway, like what does it become? The most conservative reading of it is it's a day for the family to get together. And traditionally we have turkey, but that's even fading. It's really just, a day for sports, a day you get off.
Yeah.
You know, there's really, I don't even know who you're supposed to be thankful to. There's nothing in the culture that I can tell that reinforces that aspect of it, that this is Thanksgiving to God. So, I mean, you're in Florida now, you've lived in the South, Alabama, Virginia, anything different there?
I mean, I think growing up, I think, there was more of a religious overtone to it. You know, I mean, I grew up in the late 90s. And there was certainly not the late 90s in Virginia, early 90s, late 90s in Virginia. There was certainly, at least in my experience, a lot more religious overtones. I really think, you know, Virginia's changed so much that there's so many people living there now, at least where I was living, Central Virginia and certainly Northern Virginia, that, I mean, you know, a lot of that has disappeared, I think. And I think there's pockets, you know, you go to certain places in the state and, you know, especially small towns, rural counties, you know, you'll find a lot of that still because there's a lot of religious people that acknowledge God and his blessings. But, you know, in a lot of the cities and especially the further north you go, I think a lot of that is lost. I mean, I lived for some time in Massachusetts, so I know exactly what you're talking about, where it's so secular, that there's no acknowledgement of God. And I mean, even the stories we all know from the Bible, a lot of people don't know. You know, you can make references to biblical references and they have no idea what you're referring to.
I don't know if this is, you know, true, but someone told me they were at the Plymouth Plantation not long ago, because they still have, just like at Jamestown and at, you know, Williamsburg, they have kind of a live reenactment thing going there.
Yeah.
But they were there not too long ago and they said, you know, it's changed so much even there. And it's still a tourist trap, but it's the pilgrims have kind of been side, I don't know what you want to call it, like, sideline. That's the word I'm looking for. And, it's become more, you know, the focus even at the plantation is more about the Indians. So I don't know if this is all true, 'cause I haven't gone, but I was a kid when we went, but that doesn't surprise me, you know. And there's a lot. Oh, the other thing was, okay, so here's the kicker for this story. The person who told me this said they went into a number of shops there looking for a Bible. And it's like people looked at them like they had two heads. They couldn't find a Bible anywhere. And there was a bunch of, they said, like witchcraft type shops and things like that. So there's sort of like a witch pagan presence now. And this is the area the pilgrims, of course, first landed. You know, they would be mortified.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you have any ancestral connections. It doesn't sound like it if it was Ireland. You know, I have connections going back to both places. But specifically, at least my dad tells me that John Alden and Priscilla Mullins are direct ancestors, you know, and they got off the Mayflower. And so, you know, I think of that, like, you know, would they even have recognized the place that they landed? They probably would be so disappointed today.
Yeah. You know, we were up, I was up there not too long ago, and Northampton, Massachusetts is not that far from where I was. So I ended up going there. And I told my wife this, I said, thankfully we didn't take our kids because I mean, Northampton, Massachusetts is like, you know, homosexual haven.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's literally like, it was just, I've never experienced something like that before. Where the majority of the people are either that or they're heavy promoters of it, and it's everywhere. And I found the church. It's not the original church that Edwards preached in, but it's an old church. It was built on the grounds where Edwards' church was, but it goes back to like the late 19th century. And I took a picture of it because there's this little tiny plaque there on the sidewalk. Of Edwards and like, you know, everything he did and everything like that. And behind him is the church and it's got this massive, pride flag. And then the building next to it had a BLM flag. And it's it was surreal, you know, being there and to imagine that that's where Edwards preached, and what it is today. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's exactly like Plymouth.
New England's hard territory. There's no doubt. God bless a friend of mine, Jake Dell, who just got a congregational church in Connecticut. And it sounded like to me like it was going to go under until he got there, is trying to revitalize. But it's different. And I see people from the South try to come up from the Southern Baptist Convention or whatever. And they just don't understand the New England mindset. It's very different. It's hard to do the gimmicks. It's hard to do like, we're going to have a family fun day for the kids, you know, what kids,
right?
What kids, what are you talking about? Right.
Yeah. Very true.
But anyway, like, back to Thanksgiving though, there were certain things that were universal and across denominations, across states. And that was, there was honoring the Sabbath. There was giving your due to God, and that included Thanksgiving. And that was just natural. That wouldn't have been a weird thing. I mean, there were Thanksgiving proclamations called all the time, or at least days of prayer that were called all the time in response to different events. Yeah. And that was a common thing. I think the last time, I don't even know if George Bush's proclamation, I think he had one after 9/11, that was like the last time I can remember that there was a day of prayer.
Yeah.
From the office of the president. It just doesn't happen anymore.
Biden didn't do that this year.
Well, they always do something in relation to Thanksgiving, right? They like they pardon a turkey or something.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a cute little tradition, but it misses the point. It's not about turkeys. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think,
you know, with these Thanksgiving proclamations, or not necessarily tied to the holiday, but just, occasionally, and there was a lot of presidents that did it, and actually the Presbyterians in their annual meeting would respond to those and declare days of prayer, days of prayers of thanksgiving for their congregations. So
that wasn't sacralism. That wasn't, you know.
No, days of Thanksgiving are okay. Yeah,
but that's okay.
Those are the only holy days. but yeah, so it did happen often more than you know, we think, I guess, that they would do them. But oftentimes they were done for, you know, in situations of emergency and things like that. But you reminded me of with the Sabbath, with the calls for honoring the Sabbath. The Presbyterians certainly had no qualms asking the civil government to honor the Sabbath, particularly when it came to delivering the mail on Sunday. One I found fascinating was Stonewall Jackson. I want to say it was maybe the first year of the war, when he wrote an elder in the Presbyterian Church of the Confederate States, who was going to the General Assembly, and he requested that they would petition the civil government to honor the Sabbath, and that's what they did. They went off to the assembly and they petitioned the civil government to honor the Sabbath, and that was because of Jackson. So just these fascinating stories, but you know, the point being that you know, the Protestants in the 19th century had no issue, you know, petitioning the civil government on things like that, because they assumed that the country was a you know, generally Protestant country. Topic, but you just made me think of those things.
I mean, it was also decentralized. People don't realize that, and they should, because you know, this gets into like the whole why wasn't Christianity acknowledged in the Constitution, and we're a secular country and that kind of thing. And if you realize, but we were set up as a federal republic, and those kinds of religious observances were in fact integrated into who we are, but it was more on a local and state level. And there's perfectly good examples also from the general level, but on those smaller levels, you had quite a bit more. In fact, after Washington's proclamation, there were apparently states that kept that tradition going, even though it didn't continue on the federal level. And then Lincoln makes it now it's going to be on the national level every single year. And this is interesting to me. So Lincoln is credited with making it the federal holiday that it is today, right? But so the date though changed though, and that was FDR that actually shifted the date of Thanksgiving in 1939. He moved it up 1 week to the third Thursday in November, which is of course what we celebrate now. And the reason for that, apparently, get this. Now, I don't know if you knew this. It was in an effort to extend the Christmas shopping season and help businesses during the Great Depression.
No surprise. But,
yeah. So, you know, consume more, get us out of this Great Depression. We're going to move the Thanksgiving holiday. And that's why we have it third Thursday of November now. But,
you know, the third Thursday of November is not too far off from December 4th, though. So we're close to the original.
We're closer to the Virginia celebration than we are to the Pilgrims mid-October celebration. And of course, the Pilgrims, it was a 3-day thing.
Right.
They feasted for 3 days and played games with the Indians and that kind of thing. And, you know, I think that's a fascinating thing. Cause especially when I was a kid, I noticed we didn't really have Black Friday. Right. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden there was Black Friday. You probably remember this. And I was part of that, standing in line at like 5 a.m. to get a computer or a video game or something when I was in my early teens. And then it just keeps getting earlier and earlier and earlier, and people were dying. And I worked security 1 year in a Walmart during Black Friday. I had to be there Thanksgiving. You know, it was like the stores opened on Thanksgiving. I was like, this is getting ridiculous. And now we've come to the point now where we don't really do that anymore. Like it is Black Friday. There is shopping, but it's more online. And stores are generally closed on Thanksgiving, which I'm glad for. That's good. But I don't know how much of that is due to the convenience of the internet connection and the cost of keeping a store open as it is to, you know, like, you know, I don't think that it's like the right motives that are probably necessarily closing the stores down. But
No. Everybody's doing their shopping online. It's more convenient and easy, you know.
Yeah, my wife went out last year and I was like, I'm not doing that. I decided 10 years ago, I'll go hunting. I'm not going in the stores, you know. It's just peace and quiet. I can't stand that. And I asked her last year, you know, how was it? And she's like, no, it wasn't too bad. You know, it's like a, just kind of like a heavy Saturday shopping.
Yep. So, yeah, man, everybody does it online now. I mean, there's no more stampedes where people are running over each other to get the big screen TV or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So,
man. Well, I think we've probably, well, oh, let's get to some questions. I almost forgot. Hey, any questions, anyone who's streaming here? Thanksgiving is the fourth. Is the fourth Thursday today, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? Did I say the third?
I guess it is.
I think I did say the third.
Yep, yep.
So, yeah, it's the it would be the 28th.
Even closer to December 4th, man.
Yeah, why did I say the third? I don't know why I said that. Because Franklin Roosevelt moved it. What I'm reading online here is he moved it up to the third Thursday in November. So did it change after that? That's what I'm wondering. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So Roosevelt signed a bill into law on December 26, 1941, officially declaring Thanksgiving to be celebrated on the fourth Thursday in November. Okay. So I guess it must have shifted from 1939 to 1941. It shifted.
Okay.
So you had a Great Depression depression measure. And I incorrectly, he's right. I incorrectly said that that's when we celebrate today. No, we don't. We do celebrate FDR's designation, but that was in 1941. It was a later designation of the fourth. So yeah, maybe if we have another depression, we'll extend the Christmas shopping season again. Anita Smith. Phew. I thought I made a big mistake there. I did. Thank you for saving me there. We're at waxing nostalgic for the Halcyon days of trampled Walmart employees. Yeah. You used a word I don't know. See, I might be a little smart, but I'm not that smart. Yeah, I remember too, man, working security at a Walmart on Black Friday, not something I would recommend.
No.
Jesus held the first Thanksgiving, broke bread. Okay, well, you got me there. Yeah, we'll give that to Jesus. Anita says, we have a new American son-in-law, so we are doing another Thanksgiving this Saturday. I did that too. I don't know if this has changed too, but... I mean, families have always been split in travel, but I think because we're more fractured and more split apart and there's more distances, I've had multiple Thanksgiving days too, where I'm with this side of the family. And then we have another day for this. It's same with Christmas. And I don't remember that from when I was younger, but it doesn't mean other people weren't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So someone's making fun of me that Ulster sounds Northern Irish. Okay. All right. Make fun of me, whatever. So what are you doing? Well, that'll be my last question. What are you doing for this Thanksgiving? And are there any special McGowan Thanksgiving traditions?
So we're actually staying in Tallahassee. And my in-laws live in town, so they'll be coming over. We'll just have a good meal. I mean, there's nothing really, not many traditions, at least that my family has started, but we will have my mother-in-law makes Spanish rice. So that's probably, the one,
Spanish rice, just different spices.
Yeah. I mean, it's like yellow rice, you put some Spanish olives and things like that in there as well. It's good. It's really good. So
I would take that over stuffing.
Yeah. It's good, man. It really is. So we'll have a turkey and all the normal stuff, but we'll also have that as well. So that's it. We'll spend time. Thank the Lord for his blessings on us this year and enjoy a meal together and fellowship. So.
Yeah. We have a little like apple thing that we would pass around and everyone says what they're thankful for. And so we may try to do that this year, but I'm going to be smoking a turkey for the first time. I've never done it. So this could go very bad or very good. I don't know which. I've had the philosophy, and last year, I don't even think we had a turkey because my philosophy has been, I want to eat stuff I'm really thankful for. And, turkey's okay. But I'm really thankful for brisket,
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm thankful for some good pulled pork, some ribs.
Mm-hmm.
That's my kind of Thanksgiving.
I had
some venison, some backstrap last year that were phenomenal, like butter in your mouth. They just melted, that's our Thanksgiving's going to be smoking some meat and, same, having some family over and, first, my daughter's first Thanksgiving. So, how many kids do you have?
It's exciting. Yeah. I have three. So
okay.
My oldest is 13. So
Yeah. So I'm behind you on that one. So I'm, this is like, everything's new, and which is kind of cool. I'm sure you remember that.
Oh yeah. It's good, man. You'll form your own traditions with your family. So that's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, true meaning of Thanksgiving though is about thanking God, and don't forget that for everyone listening out there. And you know, this is what I want to encourage people. If you are the father, especially, and it's your house, it's your holiday to do what you want with. You have a lot of direction over this. You don't have to let things just go and just people just talk. You can direct the conversation. And so I would encourage people out there who are hosting a Thanksgiving Day celebration, center it on God at least some point during the day. And it's great to have family. It's great to talk about whatever. Even if you want to watch football or play football or whatever, that's great. But don't forget that the whole reason behind this is to enjoy what God's given you. And if you're not thanking him, then who are you thanking? There's no one else to thank. It's not about thanking yourself. It's not about pride and that kind of thing. It's really a humble outlook that says, Lord, we don't deserve any of these good things, but you've given them to us. And so take some time to thank God, to pray with your family and with those who are in attendance. It's also a great witness. And it's one of the things that I'm intending for those that don't know Christ, and we all have them in our families, people we dearly love. This is an opportunity. You get this once or twice a year, depending on how much your families get together, to center it back on Christ and ultimately what he did for us on the cross. That's the thing we're most thankful for. So, I don't know if you have any final thoughts there, Sean.
You summed it up well, brother. No, that's very true. Amen. So, yeah.
All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And just a reminder, if you want to come to the Christianity and the Founding Conference, Pastor Sean McGowan's going to be there presenting on, what are you presenting on?
So the plan is on Presbyterians and the American War for Independence.
All right. Okay. Yeah. You just told me that. Presbyterians and the American War for Independence. So you're going to want to sign up. It's in Pennsylvania. Just go to ChristianityandTheFounding.com and you can sign up there. God bless.
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.